Shalom and God bless. Let there be praise among us this day and this night, wherever you are and whatever time zone you happen to hear this devotional. As this is Brother Ryan once more bringing you a testimony that's been alive a long time before I was ever born. But I'm so glad to be a part of it and to have a change of birthplace, for Psalms 87 delivers. And we read it directly in yesterday's devotional. It will be said that out of the nations, when God adds up the count of his people, that this man or this woman was born in Zion. To be born of another world is our aim, as it surely was the purpose of Jesus' words to Nicodemus there in St. John chapter 3, to take on a new outlook and be of a different nature when he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We need a renewed nature, one born of spiritual things, to fully see what God is doing in this day and age. So where could I go to obtain such a birth other than to the Lord? In Christ the healing waters flow. So once more in our subject matter, where could I go? This would be the second part. Where could I go but to the Lord, in a longer version of the title? And my purpose in this week's time of dedication and inspiration is just, as ever, to praise the name of Jesus and by the scriptures show the deliverances of the Almighty and how that the Word speaks to us in all situations, to everything that happens under the sun that has a place and has a time and has a season to be done. As it all does truly work together for good to those who love God, who love the Lord, who have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the people of the churches, and who listen to the calling from on high. For others, it may not work out so good to those who refuse the calling of faith. Nonetheless, God is plenteous in mercy, and those that do not have fully assured salvation, they'll have opportunity to stand on trial before the living God. The judge of all the earth, he'll do the right thing, as once Abraham implored of Jehovah God El Shaddai at Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. He most certainly will do the right thing. Justice of retribution will be done, but also justice of mercy in that day. So thankfully, we can all obtain grace and mercy in time of need, and the need is now more than ever as to the prophetic world stage. The day of reckoning does draw near, as things cannot continue on the way that they are, or otherwise the state of things would come to the point where no flesh would be saved, as the Master himself maintained at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22. That statement was given in the context of warfare amongst the signs of the times in the matter of the great tribulation of the latter days, the time that's sometimes known as Jacob's trouble. How could one conceive of a war where no flesh would be saved in a day of swords and arrows and spears? There's heavenly vision of foresight at work in those scriptures, and for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. That's just the briefest outline of the principle of where could I go but to the Lord. As to the big picture and the end result of all the warnings and the signs of the times that are contained in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21, in Daniel chapter 9, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the entirety of the book of Revelation. But on the personal level, our time today and for this week, our inspirations are more geared toward our immediate needs. But of course, we must never forget the trial of the latter days, for all we do now by way of preparation has effect on that which is to come. So in the struggle of life, we come to greater awareness through the battles that Jesus fought. He's always our example. In any situation, it's of value to ask of ourselves this question: what would Jesus do? When temptation of any sort arises, remember the Lord's Prayer, which speaks on this wise: lead us not into temptation. For we are weak of our own flesh, but deliver us from evil. Jesus lived that out within himself. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, or follow along with me as I read. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 1. We referred to this yesterday, but let's quote it directly here in our scripture reading today. This is the time of temptation, and Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 reads, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So take note of that. It says Jesus was led of the Spirit, and the purpose of that was to be tempted and tested and tried, following the 40 days of preparation for that moment. In our lives, we will be tempted, tested, and tried too. And when trials come, don't be amazed as if some strange things happen to you. It doesn't mean God has forsaken you any more than this instance means the Holy Spirit had left the Master all alone. There was purpose, there was design in it, just as the trials and temptations of this life. It doesn't mean the Lord's abandoned you. Battles make soldiers, and there are no victories without the fight that precedes the warfare. In that respect, consider Job, who was the best person upon the face of the earth, other than Christ himself. No person ever born surpassed his strength of character, saving once again for the Master. But yet Job endured the worst of all circumstances. He kept his love and integrity alive, even in the midst of personal calamity. And without that being so, we would not have a book of Job to consider in our trials that are probably less than Job's, but are still trials nonetheless. So in any deliberation about why bad things sometimes happen to good people, the book of Job is one of the oldest, and perhaps is the oldest, composed writing of Scripture, because it deals with the oldest problem and question of why is there suffering. The same thoughts apply to the life of the Savior, who endured the greatest agony upon the cross, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he cried out in order to overcome the strongest enemy, which was death itself. So from our account of Matthew chapter 4, where else could Jesus go but to the word itself that was written? For he said, it is written. The word being the living, expressive Spirit of truth itself, poured onto printed page. Where else could he go? Because God was in his word, and that word was there from the Genesis 1:1 beginning. Where else can you go? There is no other source of life, no other fountain where I could be more satisfied. And the word endures, and it is our supply. Thus Jesus, in his earthly pilgrimage, went exactly to what was written. Quoting from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, as he drew upon that for inspiration. Where else could he go? Where else is there for anyone to go except to the word? Should we go to the world of business and commerce? Love of money is the root of all evil. And the whole of Revelation 18 is devoted to the downfall of the greed that is at the core of every sin. The politics that drive the nations to make war upon each other, that's outlined in Revelation 16. So political answers, that's not our salvation either. Traditional religious thought is likewise judged in Revelation chapter 17. So these are not our coverings in the time of the distress of nations, when the heathen are raging and imagining vain things. Only the pure heart of belief in the Lord and his written word can lift us up above from the mess of the conflicts that happen with the world's systems which are ways that seem right to a man, but in reality they lead to death, as says Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. It was a combination of politics, religion, abused, and the economic desires of the generation that Jesus spoke to that put Christ upon the cross. Yet that did serve the design of the Lord in order to be the perfect sacrifice for our sake, though that was certainly not the intent of those who cried out, "Crucify, crucify him." God did use it. He used it to serve a greater purpose than the collective works of the flesh had in mind, and that purpose is still at work. And the tempter here, he could not discourage the Messiah from his appointed course. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to read from there. In speaking about discouragement, when one is in the place of being tempted to do the wrong thing, as Jesus was with the command, "These stones be made bread" statement, turn to the bread of life that proceeds from the mouth of the Almighty God, because that's where the victory is. And in the constant fight against discouragement from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and from the third verse, it reads, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So we're all in this together. And by example, we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And blessed be the Lord who has made that to be true, as we all have need of being lifted up in our souls. We're human. We are fallible. God allowed the apostles and members of the early church to have their disappointments along the way, certainly, not only for their benefit in the long run, in the great scope of things, but for ours, as we read of what they endured in the trial of faith, some even to the point of martyrdom, whereby they obtain a better resurrection. So to all then who hear these words, whether it's my voice in this recording, or if by the taking in of what is written that we just quoted out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, but know this, if you've been a partaker of sufferings in this world, which all of us are, to one point or another, then we're also the people of consolation, who have received of the blessings that are to come, who have received of the peace that passes all understanding, and that peace and those blessings never fail. So hold on to who you are in Christ, who is indeed your life. How would we ever know what it means to be of such virtue as the fruits of the Spirit proclaim in Galatians 5 if we were never tested, if we were never tried? It's God's way to build up the house of faith and bring forth children after his own will. The creation before us, the angelic creation, they're creatures of the Lord's will, certainly. But being formed as beings of light, they never knew what it was to be sick, to be dependent as children are, to raise up others and to raise up a family as a mother and father do. They never knew what it was to put in a day's work in order to be able to maintain your livelihood or to experience a loss of life in the same way that we do. It was a great work to bring forth the angelic host, but it did not suffice to deliver all that was within the Almighty. Thus did God create man in his own image. And all the sufferings of this world, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory to be revealed in us. in the promise of what is written as, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a promise. So grace and peace be unto all you saints who have put the Lord first in all your considerations. God bless you for that. In times of trouble, any scriptural precept will be of value. And one of my favorite sayings in this regard is, the rising tide of faith lifts all boats in the harbor. All scriptures speak together to proclaim one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and it strengthens us in all areas. As one God and Father of all gives us these scriptures because he never forsakes his own. So may the Lord, mighty in battle, be with you abundantly, and take heart in Jesus' name. Amen.